Okay. Well, this interview was conducted on the 7th of September 2016. The interviewer is Leslie Hollingsworth, and the interviewee is Vivian Doyle. So firstly, Vivian, can you tell me something about your primary school?
Yes, I went to Winterbourne School, both primary and junior school, which was very near my home. I used to walk there. And when it came to the time to take the 11 plus, I already had a long-term friend, Elizabeth, who's also given her memories of the high school, and we went together. So I wasn't alone going to the new school. And along with us came two other girls who I didn't really have a lot to do with at school, but there were actually four of us from Winterbourne Junior School, junior girls, who got through to the high school after 11 plus. So I didn't feel I was completely alone, and I had someone to compare notes with. And I've remained friendly with Elizabeth all my life since. We've known each other since we first were in the infant school at the age of five, and we're still in touch, and so that's lovely.
Right, and did you choose going to Croydon High School yourself, or was it something your parents wanted?
Well, I think it was pretty much made known to us that this was like the top school in Croydon, and if we could go there, we should. It was pretty much our parents finding out about things, and the school also recommending us. And if you were in, both Elizabeth and I were fairly near the top of the class, so we kind of knew we had a shot at the high school, and indeed we got through, yes.
Right, so what was it like for you starting at Croydon High School?
It was quite different. I had to catch the bus to school. It's quite a long journey on my own. I was a bit in awe of the teachers. And of course we were learning new subjects at school. We, for example, French and Latin, which we'd never done before. So there was a little bit of trepidation there, I think, when I first went. And I found it all very bewildering, so many girls and finding my way about the school. You know, it was a bit of a labyrinth, really, rooms and corridors and having to know what room you were in for the next lesson. It wasn't an easy ride to start with, but I soon got used to it.
And did they put you into groups in the beginning for any subjects?
I think we were, I'm not sure how they allotted us. We were in Miss Cotton's class in 113, I remember, and Elizabeth was in the same class. And we soon got together with Anna and Sherwell and Pam. So I seem to remember us being a little gang together for most of our school life, in fact. And we were a bit subversive, I seem to remember. we used to laugh and joke a lot. I'm not sure whether we passed notes to each other or did funny drawings, but we were not model pupils, really. We liked to lark about a little bit, but in a very... Compared to today's children, I'm sure we weren't too bad. We gave some of the teachers a bit of a hard time, especially if they were young and inexperienced, you know. But overall, I think we weren't badly behaved.
And were there any particular subjects that you were good at or that you particularly liked?
I always liked English, and we had a very inspirational teacher that others have spoken of, Miss Duncan. I enjoyed English, and in fact went on to do that at university later. But I wasn't a sporty type. There were people in our class who really loved games and sports, and I was not one of those. However, later on they decided to have cricket trials. Now it just so happened that I used to play cricket with my brother and his friends, because we lived near a recreation ground, and I was a keen cricket player, and I thought I might get into the school team, even though I wasn't interested in netball or hockey or the other sports. So I went to the trials, and I remember hitting this ball for six right out of the school field. But I think they just thought it was a fluke, and I never got into the cricket team because I wasn't a known sporty type, but actually I would have been really rather good at cricket. And of course it was unusual in those days for a girls' school to play cricket at all.
Yes.
So I was a bit disappointed with that. And I think there were a few instances where the staff didn't really know the skills of some of their pupils. This happened to me in the French group as well. When we started French, I struggled a bit, and I found myself in a class run by a French woman, which would have been good, but she was a very lazy teacher. She didn't do very much. I seem to remember her reading books and so on. She would set us an exercise to do and then not mark it. And so I don't know how they would assess people for French who were in her class, but I was stuck in this class, and my mum was very upset about this, and she came up and asked if I could go in the top class, top division for French, because by that time, my aunt and uncle, who were very keen on French, were giving me extra tuition, if you like, at home. We were following a course together, and I started to get better and better. Mm-hmm. And I found the French lessons very boring at school and wasn't being challenged. Anyway, it did work out in the end that I got into the French class and started to do very well. But I think if my mum hadn't sort of made a fuss about it and said, look, she's really quite good at French, I would have stuck in a class and been very backward, really, in French at school, anyway.
And what happened when you got to the stage of working towards O-levels?
Well, we
Did
had
you
to
specialise at all?
Well, we had to choose at some point which subjects we were going to study. And I think I ended up, well, I was a bit of an anomaly because there was like an academic group which I was theoretically in, but I wasn't considered good enough to do German. So I used to go to the library and have free periods during the German classes, which was a bit odd, really. So I just did my homework or read books or wrote or something. So I felt a bit sort of foot in both camps in a way, that I wasn't quite into the language stream of the school, even though I was very good at French. So it was a bit odd.
That was a judgment made that you couldn't query then?
Yes. I think they decided who should do German on the quality of their Latin. And I think that particular year I was struggling in Latin. I came to be better at Latin and I really enjoyed it. But at the time when they were choosing who should do German, it was based on your ability in Latin, and which at the time was a bit poor. So there were lots of, it was like a lottery really, you know, and it was quite difficult sometimes to know what direction you were heading in. Anyway, I did get into the top French group and my French got good, and I studied it at university and so on, so that was all right. And
were you given opportunities by the school to improve your French?
Well, yes, because there was a French exchange scheme which my mum was keen that I should take part in. So at the age of 15... I went with a party, quite a big party, I suppose about 20 of us. We took the boat from New Haven. I'd never been abroad before, of course. And we went to Paris. And there, I suppose, we were parcelled out to our various families. And we were to spend a whole month with our family, which, looking back, was quite a tall order for a 15-year-old who'd never been abroad before. However, that was it, and we knuckled under and did it as best we could. But I didn't get on all that well with my French exchange partner, Marie-Vonne. I did go to school with her a little bit, but after a while, for some reason, she decided she didn't want me to come to school. And her parents, it was quite unusual in those days, because her mother was an engineer, as well as her father, and they were both working full-time. So for the first 2 weeks in Paris, I found myself wandering about on my own, age 15, not not really being guided or helped at all. I just found my own way around on the metro. I used to go to the Louvre and the Jeu de Paume and other art galleries and so on, and just amuse myself during the day and get back home for the evening meal, which is a bit strange, really. But I was actually used to wandering about cities on my own because I'd done a lot in London with my friends from school or with my parents. And I knew London pretty well. I knew the underground. So it was just a matter of applying the same kind of orienteering ability in Paris. And so that's what I did. But when I used to find myself wandering about Montmartre, of course, on my own, sometimes dubious gentlemen used to come up and talk to me in French, and it took me a while to realise that they might have had bad intentions towards me. And I can remember once thinking a man started to follow me, and I turned round suddenly, and I subjected him to a stream of gobbledygook. I invented this language, and I just shouted all these funny words at him, and he stopped following me, so that did the trick. But we had to be quite resourceful, really, I think.
So did you pursue your French to A-level then?
Yes, I did A-level French. In fact, in the end, I did better in A-level French than in English, but I did take English as my main subject at university. Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you think school prepared you for university? Did you choose the kind of course you wanted?
Well, I wasn't very well advised, actually, at school. If you weren't going to go to Oxbridge, they didn't seem to know much about the red brick universities, and I didn't want to stay on to school to do the Oxbridge exam. I wanted to leave school. I was a little bit older, actually. My birthday falls in October, and I was nearly 19 by the time I left school. So I talked to someone must have been a careers advisor, I can't remember who it was, but they said, well, there's an interesting English course in Leicester University run by a man called Richard Hoggart, and we think you'd be interested in going there, that would be good for you. So I just took their word for it and accepted a place at Leicester, and when I got there he'd left. And what was remaining was a really old-fashioned kind of English course. It didn't suit me at all. I think they were doing the Augustan age, Dryden and Pope and things like that, and I was much more interested in modern literature. So I was bored stiff, really, with the English there. But the French there was good. The French, I did a lot of French as well at Leicester, and that was good, but overall, I didn't think that academically I was progressing very much there.
So how would you sum up Croydon High School and your experience of it?
Well, I think that it certainly helped me to be a bit more resourceful on my own. You know, it challenged me quite a bit. And when I'd finished at Leicester, doing the degree at Leicester, I applied to do an MA at Sussex University, which had only just started, actually. And I thoroughly enjoyed my year's MA, and then I did a year's teaching. So I think I kind of followed the script that the high school laid down, really, that you went on to be an academic and study. But in fact, I'm really pleased about it, because now I've been a tutor in the Open University. Now I've retired from teaching generally. I belong to an organisation called the University of the Third Age, and both the OU and the U3A are devoted to lifelong learning, really. And that's something which I feel was an important legacy from the high school, that I love learning and I'm interested in all sorts of things. I didn't do much science at school, but I now have joined a U3A science group and I find it fascinating. And I've just got all sorts of interests, really, and I think that the high school stimulated you in that way, that you took an interest in all sorts of things.
Now, the reason why six of us are together today, reminiscing about our school days, is that every year since we were 50 years old, we've been meeting once a year, taking it in turns to host the event in our own home. Two of us live in Wales, two in the north of England and two in the south, but we all try to make it to the annual reunion, and even if we can't make it for family or health reasons, we will share news of each other. So the friendships that we made at Croydon High School all those years ago have turned out to be truly lifelong, and that is a great gift to us all.